Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 13th of November, 2011. Hello and welcome. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim was speaking on Your Kingdom Come. So let's go and join him as he's starting the sermon.
Jesus gives us directions in lots of different things. And this morning, we're going to be thinking about priorities, our focus, and our culture. Those things that we should have as his people. And it originates in the teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples. I wonder if you could read that through with me. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" That's a slightly shorter version of the Lord's Prayer from Luke. But for today, the phrase which really is our starting point is that desire, that prayerful desire, when we come to God and we say, "Your kingdom come." Is that what's on your heart? Is that my desire? Your kingdom come. When Roger Sutton came to preach at our church anniversary a few weeks ago, he had several points which built into this desire and the reality of this prayer. And he was particularly focusing on where we need to be heading as God's people and what sort of a church we want to pass on to the next generation. And so this morning we really felt it was important we actually revisit some of that, because he ran out of time. Now, can you ever think of a minister who might have more to say than the time he's got? Well, that's really what happened with Roger, and we thought it was a shame to not actually give that broad overview. And so this morning we're going to think through some of those thoughts about how it actually helps us to continue on the journey of faith that God has called us as Minehead Baptist Church. And Roger grouped his thoughts, although we didn't really get to it because he ran out of time, but he grouped his thoughts, and so we're going to do the same this morning. And the first thing is about the priorities we should be keeping. And here we're going to focus on some of the foundational things which should distinguish us from the world in which we live. If you like, the priorities that will help us to stay clear and distinctive, while at the same time being effective in touching the world in which we live. When we start to really seek your kingdom come. So you might remember some of these. It's about seeking after Jesus, being deeply united, making disciples, and living in and amongst people. Now, it would be nice if I only said that, wouldn't it? But you know that you're going to get more. So let's just remind ourselves and unpack a little bit of what those mean. Now, there is a reason that this has a number one at the beginning. It's because it is the most important, and it is the one that undergirds everything else we're going to say this morning. But I'm also conscious that we've actually also picked up and run with this quite a lot recently. So I just want you to remember this is the most important before I move on. Is that okay? That's it. It's about moving from control of our own lives to reliance on Jesus for who we are and what we do. That's that one. Second one. It's about being deeply united. You'll see at the bottom there, Philippians 2:2. And we hear there, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And for each of the points, Roger made this sort of suggestion that there was a movement. There was a challenge to move from one place to another. And with this one, it was to move from independence to interdependence. And the reality of that comes to us as an individual church, but it also comes in our relationship with other fellowships too. Because Jesus hasn't given all of his gifts and completeness to any one individual. But he actually calls us together to reveal his wholeness and to experience his fullness. And so it's about forgiveness when we fail each other. It's about restoration where relationships break down. And it's the prominence of humility. All of those things are vital if we're going to actually make this point a reality. The reality is that I need you. And whether you like it or not, you need me. And we can echo that around this building this morning. The third thought is that we are to make disciples. Jesus spoke some very uncomfortable things and left us with things that some people prefer he didn't say. But he actually told us, his church, that we, that's you as well, are to make disciples. And if you like, the movement for that is to move from an institutional idea to a personal. And what we mean by that is that our priority should be informing everything that we're engaged with as God's people, should be moving towards this goal. If what we spend our time and our effort on can't be traced back to fulfilling this priority, why are we doing it? What's the point? The little phrase, every member a missionary, comes to mind here. And so the movement is from institutional, where generally people mean it's somebody else's job. You ever heard that? I hear it sometimes, you know, the church should be doing such and such. And you say, well, you are the church. Go and do it. It's about moving from that institutional idea to actually recognizing this is my personal responsibility. This is part of what God has called me to be doing and being, to engage personally with Jesus' command. He also thought about living in and amongst people. Again, do you want to read with me? As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. We're practicing with WOW for the Nativity service, and of course Christmas is just around the corner, as we've been reminded so powerfully by Mr. Christmas this morning. But of course at the heart of that is the incarnation of God becoming man in Jesus, to live among ordinary people. And in the same way, Jesus challenges us and says, I've called you to live in this world as an indication of God's presence and love to those around us. We are not called to be a holy club, but we're actually called so that we can then be spread into all of the different areas of our community in which we work and live and have relationships during the week. We're supposed to be salt and light. And yet so often we struggle with this idea. We struggle with what divides us between what we do on a Sunday and actually our everyday lives. What does it mean to be incarnational, to actually be Jesus in our daily experience? And Roger Sutton came up with a few thoughts, and I'm not going to develop them, but I just want to throw them up here and run you through them. To be human and real. By that, don't be super spiritual, because you ain't perfect yet. Just be real. To love and connect with people's lives. To have a 7 days a week spirituality. We sometimes challenge that, don't we? That what we do on a Sunday has to actually be a reflection of the rest of our lives. Not completely different. To see ourselves as a vital part of the local community. That actually we're part of this world, but we don't belong to it. And to keep that understanding, but we are in it. To partner with others, we've already reflected some of that when we thought about unity. And to be confident in the power of the kingdom. Because the Bible says that actually God puts all of his resources that raised Jesus from the dead within his followers. So whatever we face in our daily experience, we're bringing that authority into our lives. Those were the priorities to keep. Here we're going to think about the focus that we should address. In this collection of thoughts come those things which help us to connect with our world. Things to make personal faith relevant. And also to enable us to bring the values and the transforming power of God's love into action. And Roger suggested these. I love that picture. I think it's great. Confidence in sharing the gospel, loving the poor, loving God's creation, and taking our place in civic life. Confidence in sharing the gospel. Anybody feel like that when the word evangelism is thrown at you? Some people do, don't they? But we're called in 2 Timothy, as it says there, preach the word. He wasn't talking to leaders, he was talking to ordinary Christians. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And the movement here is actually quite a powerful one. To move from timidity to confidence. Earlier this year, we focused on how we can be effective in sharing our faith. And let's be honest, some people found it really difficult doing the Contagious Christian course. Some people really struggled with it. But you know what? I make no apologies for the fact that we did it. Because I think actually it was necessary and an important focus that God is calling us to take seriously. To individually be equipped to take our own story of faith and to be reminded of the power of our own experience to reach into the lives of other people. And we also looked at the big picture, didn't we? Of God's plan in sending Jesus and how we can communicate that truth to other people. We could develop that loads, but I'm not going to now. But just take that one on board. The second thing in this section is about loving the poor. Slightly smaller, but it says there from Luke 4, Jesus took this for himself and passed it on as a commission to us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And that movement is from the rich to the poor. And the reality is we look in the Bible and we find that God's heart is always towards the poor and the disadvantaged. And our hearts need to be focused in exactly the same way. And as we seek Jesus more and more, remember where we started, the number one, was about looking to Jesus. As we seek Jesus, then his heart becomes more and more our heart. And then we're moved to express this focus more and more in our life together. Roger also brought in about loving God's creation. And the movement there is from disregard to respect. And this is actually another way of relating and engaging with our world. What is the top topic so often in the news? And certainly if you go into schools, it's a big part of what is actually being taught and understood. And from a Christian perspective, we know that Adam was given responsibility over the world that God had made. And so we have got an ongoing responsibility as God's people to love the world in which God has placed us. It goes against some of the attitudes in previous generations where there was a split between the spiritual and the material. But it's just not there in the Bible. God actually draws it together in a unity. He also talked about taking our place in civic life. I have to say, I couldn't find another way of saying it, but I don't like the way he says that. I know what he means, but he's not quite how I would have phrased it. But he used the words to go from the ghetto, the Christian club, if you like, to actually the town hall. And not all of us, let's be real, are going to be gifted or able to take on an official role in civic life. But I don't think that was really what Roger was suggesting. You know, if you all became town councillors, we'd have a very big town council. And it would not get anything done. But I think what Roger was actually suggesting, that we need to recognise our call to make connections with our community at whatever level we can, to actively seek ways in which we can make a difference in our community. And in many ways it just builds on the picture that God gave to us as a church a few years ago about being streams of blessing. Do you remember that image? That we are called as God's people here, now, today, to be streams of blessing to those outside of this building on a Sunday morning. And we sometimes complain, don't we, about the falling standards and values of our society, when actually God is calling us to get stuck in and to bring his values and standards with us as we bless our community. Because that's the most effective way to make a change and to establish a difference. Those were some thoughts of the values that we, or the focus we need to address. He also talked about the culture we should develop. And the first is this, to take risks. And the second was to be creative. You'll be relieved to know there were only 10 points. Aren't you relieved now? And again, if we just take those very briefly, to take risks means to move from security to adventure. Security to adventure. And I want to say, this isn't about being rash or without proper consideration, but it is about seizing the moment when God opens the opportunity and not turning the other way. That we should have an impulse, and when the Holy Spirit touches us, to step into that with confidence and not necessarily knowing the end from the beginning. I could be wrong, but I seem to remember that Jesus taught us that we should live by faith and not by sight. And that means his leading is always going to be full of new challenges. And as the movement here suggests, adventure. And it doesn't mean that we're going to have the whole picture in our minds when we step forward, when we head into something, when we start a new initiative, and when we give our lives towards something that the Holy Spirit has inspired us towards. And where perhaps we sometimes hold back because of a desire for the familiar and safe, I think God is calling us to step forward into the promises that he is making to us. Remember the story of the people fleeing Egypt? Some of them every now and again looked back, didn't they? And Moses had to keep telling the people, don't look back. Look forward and towards God, because he's going to lead us into the promised land. Now, we don't know what shape or form the promised land might be for us today. But he is the same God who tells us not to look back. And I want to suggest that it requires a conscious decision to break new ground. And that's actually what the next culture shift is all about. Because the thing is that culture is a funny old thing. It is the prevailing attitude and values which undergird a group of people or a society. And culture is present in every single human gathering, and that includes church. We have a culture, whether we like it or not. And it can be positives, and sometimes it can be quite negative. You know, sometimes a church culture can be very isolationist and judgmental. And yet another church may have the culture of acceptance and forgiveness. You can probably work out which one I think we should be heading towards. And the thing is, traditionally, most churches, especially those who have been around a long time, can you think of a church that's been around for quite a long time? I can think of one. It was 194 a few weeks ago. Now, I'm not being negative here at all. Don't misunderstand me. But I just want to say that generally, churches which have been around for a long time tend to become more reactive than revolutionary. They tend to begin to look inward rather than outward. And the thing is, I think God's been challenging us about this a lot recently and over the last few years. And the church has taken steps towards addressing that and changing the culture that we are generating among ourselves. And this idea here of being creative means about moving from being predictable. Do you like Mr. Boring there? He's great, isn't he? Moving from the predictable to the surprising. I recently attended a seminar in Exeter at a church there. And I have to say, you know how you get really bored sometimes when people are speaking? Not that it ever happens here, but occasionally. But the thing was, I started looking around and I thought how dull and colourless that church building was. It was a good old-fashioned traditional Baptist chapel. And it looked miserable. And the thing is, in many ways, our environment indicates so much about who we are. Isn't that why there are so many makeover programs on the TV? Because people are desperately trying to reinvent themselves. But we can safely say that in a church context, many of the old ways of reaching out simply don't touch our society anymore. Just doesn't work. And so a fresh way of communicating the reality of knowing God through Jesus is going to be needed. in many ways, I think we are beginning to express this. You know, I don't want us to be down on this. But it does perhaps challenge us to be willing to let go of our preconceived and past ways of doing things. To allow God to inspire us into new expressions of faith and church and evangelism, which touch people's hearts and emotions, as well as touching their minds and their beliefs. It's not all about art and drama, but a way of thinking creatively. Now, you may be surprised to realise I have only spoken for 20 minutes. And I've got through 10 points! Well, there was a reason for that. Don't think you've been let out early. Because I want us to actually think about a couple of questions. Now, I hope you can read that, because that's actually the whole of what I've just been talking about. And this is, if you like, the whole of what Roger Sutton was bringing to us a few weeks ago. That we think about our priorities, those things that we hold dear and value so much. That actually there are things maybe we need to focus on as we look towards the future and the type of church that God wants us to be. And also that idea about culture. And what I would like us to do for the next few minutes is, around you are some people who are incredibly clever. Now they're looking at you and saying you're incredibly clever too. And the reality is we all have something we can contribute here. And so in a moment I'm just going to ask you to draw with hopefully not more than two or three or four people, otherwise the groups get too big and you won't have an opportunity to share. But just with the people around you, to talk through two questions. They're quite specific. What are the strengths at Minehead Baptist Church in relation to some of those thoughts there? Okay? The good stuff. You know, things that maybe we're not 100% there yet, but we're heading in the right direction. Yeah? And then maybe what you think might be hardest to achieve here. Okay? From your experience. And probably it'll be quite different depending on our age and the people we're mixing with and all the rest of it. That's not a problem. But just for a few minutes to actually explore those two questions. We're going to leave that slide up so you get a reminder of what we're talking about. But just for a few minutes to actually talk that through. Is that okay? Go. Find two or three people around you. Okay. Right, I'm going to calm you down. I'm going to calm you down. I know you could go on for a very long time, but I thought it's quite important to just have a little bit of feedback. So there is a microphone which I have now. Yes, I have turned on. What do you think are some of the strengths then of Minehead Baptist Church? Because God also wants us to celebrate the good as well as feel challenged. It's important to do that. So would anybody like to make a comment from your little group? It's not scary. You can stay where you are. Okay, Chris. Thank you.
I do, Tim. Well, we just thought very much that although we can get very much better at things, we are certainly seeking after Jesus. And we will always be seeking after Jesus. We are very united in many ways, and that was just shown by all the chatter and everything that went on at this point. But again, how deeply, that's another sort of question. And we do try in our various ways to make disciples, but we can get better. But I think we do try very much. And we do live in and among people. I believe that's probably the most difficult, because it is very hard to accept people who haven't got your own background, culture, and everything else. But I think we will try, and we recognise that it is difficult. But it's a long road to get there.
So it is a journey, as well as sort of celebrating where we've got to. Anybody else like to make a comment? Very quiet. Yes. Cool. I'll pass that.
We have a leadership team that are very much seeking after the Lord, that are humbling themselves before God, that are seeking his wisdom and his ways. And I think we should really appreciate our leadership team.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we were saying that the church is very welcoming, very family, and there's a real sense of sort of family and community spirit here, which shows God's love, and that unites us, and that there's something for every age, you know, and God sees us all as different ages, and that's the church is creative in providing for people of all ages.
Thank you. Any other comments on the strengths? I should have got someone else to do this bit, shouldn't I? Oh, there we go.
I think one of the strengths of Minor Baptist Church is in the number 6, loving the poor, the way that the Hope Centre is run, and the way that we support Open Doors and you know, many people in the outer world.
Yeah, thank you. Excellent.
As my friend Cyril told me one time, people like to come to the Baptist church because it's an alive church, it's not a dead church. Mm. And I also think what I do admire is the fact that we're prepared to change and grow, and if we get things wrong, you know, we're prepared to change direction. But yeah. I think that's very good. And I would like to reiterate what Wendy was saying. We do have a wonderful leadership team, and I think we're very blessed by that.
Thank you. Oh, I recognise you.
I just wanted to say this because it came through our group, and although they're not in here, it will be recorded. So for the people that run Junior Church, there was a really big thumbs up from the corner over here. We think you do a fantastic job looking after the children, and not just entertaining them on a Sunday morning, but really teaching them the truths of the gospel and what being a Christian means. And also there was a really big thumbs up for the work that Sue and Paul are doing with the teenagers. So I hope that they hear it on the recording, and we'll make sure that they hear it afterwards.
Fantastic. The easy way to do it is go and tell them straight after the service. That would be fantastic. Anybody else want to make a comment?
Say about prayer, because I think our church is very supportive in prayer. When there's ever a need, and anyone literally any need, there's the emails and by phone and by word of mouth, people get together and pray, and it is just so vital, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Thank you. Last on this section, and then you can get to the miserable, the tricky bit of where we actually maybe need to be challenged.
My wife and I are visitors here, but we're regular visitors. We've been coming to Minehead Baptist Church, I guess, on and off over 30 years, and the place is transformed. Yeah. And we would say it's a very welcoming church, and it's a very warm feel to the church. And I don't mean physical temperature, but spiritually there's a very warm feel. And I think you've got a lot going for you.
Thank you. It's great to have you. And we do recognise you when you come through the doors. Oh, they're back! Anybody want to make a comment on the second question then? What do you think might be hardest to achieve? Now, this isn't saying that, you know, we're not trying. It's just saying that maybe where we need to put the effort or time or thinking or energy. Okay? It's not a negative. It's actually a positive to say where God is calling us to do better. to change?
When we discussed this one, I think we picked on two areas. One area is not just ours, it's a universal one. It came out of a comment. My younger son, some of you will know actually, at one time was apparently a very strong Christian, has walked right away from faith. And we were sitting chatting, he was down at the other weekend, and we were sitting at the lunch table, and he was took the line, okay, you've got your church, I don't want to be interested. And I think very often people outside compartmentalise their lives. You have your church, I go to golf, I watch the telly, I go to football, so what? And we said that what we've got to make people realise is that the most important questions that are asked are about Christianity, life after death, who do we follow, God, etc. And it's the importance of those that we've got to get across. The second one we identified was, I termed it at one point as WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. And Pete here said, we don't preach at them, they have to see that we're living what we are. And I say, one of the things that brought me to Jesus 50 years ago was in the college I was in, the Christians I found attractive. And it was knowing what that attraction was that I wanted to find out about, and that led me to Christ. So we've got to look at that. The first one's a major problem. We've got to, how do we break down this idea that we all have our little corner? And secondly, can we make ourselves more attractive, both personally and communally, as a church?
Thank you. That whole thing about being salt and light, you know, you can't separate them, can you? The whole point is that we're supposed to be completely different. Okay.
I think the one of the... This doesn't apply just to this church, by the way. It applies to the churches generally. And when I say the church, I mean the people and not the buildings, of course. But we're all of us are afraid to take risks. Mm. We're afraid to share the gospel in case we look foolish, when we lose our friends, or we thought we're crazy. We're afraid to pray for the sick just in case nothing happens. We may have a word from God, but we're afraid it might not be from God, so we're afraid to say anything. We really need to step out and take risks.
Thank you.
As a people generally.
Thank you. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because in the Bible it says that perfect love casts out fear. So if we're touching the perfect love of Jesus, back to the first point, actually, he's going to enable us to then reach into those things where maybe we've been fearful.
Okay. Well, this is both a strength and a weakness. When Andrew was coming, we had the regional minister came down to discuss what we wanted. And he made a point, we were deeply united as a church. Now, the thing is, as we start taking risks and moving forward, and people start sharing the gospel, they start loving the poor and going in different directions, then the weakness is actually staying that deeply united. We've got to maintain that unitedness that we have, even though people are doing their different things.
Yep. Thank you. Excellent. Oh, sorry, I'll be back, Sandra.
I think this church is absolutely great, welcoming-wise and the rest of it. But one weakness that I've seen is that we're not reaching out to the youth in Minehead. I'm not sure if there's something on a Friday night, youth club-wise, but I think there should be a big need. I work in the West Somerset Community College, so there are young people here, and I know that there are people willing to work with the young people, so that's what I see.
Thank you. You'd have loved our church meeting Tuesday night, because we had a huge discussion about reaching the young people and stuff, so it's on the agenda and very much in people's heart and mind. But we're still working through what shape that's going to become. So any thoughts, please talk to us. Great.
Yeah, we found it fascinating because under priorities we felt there were two we were quite, you know, reasonably good at and two we weren't. And the same under focus. And the two we weren't particularly good at were making disciples and living amongst the people. And on the second focus, it was confidence in sharing the gospel and taking our place in, I wouldn't say civic life, but community life.
Yeah.
And we felt that that was two things that we really weren't good at. And particularly I felt the living in the community. I think in the past, it's been too easy for people to have their whole social life, etc., in the church.
Yeah.
And we need to get out and, you know, the Jeff just said about people need to see us and think that there's something about being Christians that's one, you know, they'd like. Well, they won't see us if we don't go out and get involved in the community. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we really need to be doing.
Thank you. Okay. I know there's more, but we can't go on too long, otherwise those doing lunch will shout at me. But I would just say, if you've got more thoughts, you know, feel free to nab any of the leadership team and to share with us. Because I just wanted to finish off with a thought or three. Thought or two. And that is from that same, if you like, well, framework really of thoughts, to thou take it personally. And just for a second or two, which area makes your heart sing? Which area is the thing that actually God's really motivated you about? And you think, without that, what can we do? And I'm going to be really mean and say you can't have number one. Because that's for all of us, all right? Number one is for all of us, full stop. But from the rest, which is the thing that you think, yeah, I'm challenged about that. That's touched me this morning. That's got me thinking. Or maybe the thing that really is a burden and something that you can't stop being motivated about. You may not be doing anything about it yet. That's the next thing. But what makes your heart sing from these thoughts? Just for a second, think that through in the quiet. If you've got that in your head, what small steps can I take, can you take, over the next 6 months to grow that passion? Just little things that could take you forward in what God has been speaking to you about. Within the church, we are really stressing at the moment the idea of prayer families. And if you look on the board in the foyer, you'll find there's a whole list of different prayer families. We're not talking 2.1 children with two grown-ups. We're talking about a common area of concern, care and desire that we want to come to God in concerted prayer over. And we've listed some of the families of prayer that are already in the church. And you may have others. That may be your next first step, to gather others together to pray into the area that you feel God is speaking to you about. And the other thing I'd ask you to do is also to pray for our leaders' retreat. On the 5th of December, we're having a leaders' retreat, and we're going to be picking up some of all the themes that God's been throwing at us recently. Remember that image that Andrew shared with us a little while ago of the walls, and the picture of Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls and what that means. As a leadership at the moment, we're prayerfully walking the walls, thinking about the church, thinking about where maybe the wall needs to be repaired. Maybe a wall actually doesn't exist at the moment. Things that we need to pick up. So we'd really appreciate your prayers as we meet and think and share together on the 5th of December. Let's pray. Father God, in some ways it was impossible what we were trying to do this morning. But I ask, Lord, that you would just in each of us confirm what we should take from our time together. It may be a single word or one thought, or it may be the big picture. Father God, we want to be obedient as your people. And we want to be a church which is enabling your kingdom to come. Where we started, Lord, is your prayer. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to reflect your prayer in our own lives and in our own actions. Join us together as a family of your people, we pray, in deeper and deeper ways. Enable us to change our culture where it needs to be challenged. Enable us, Lord, to move forward in those areas where we need to focus. That, Lord, we might make an impact in this place. That, Lord, we might see your kingdom come. Amen.
You might have heard Tim mention Mr. Christmas in the sermon. Well, that's actually me, because before the sermon started, I'd done a brief talk and shown people my Christmas website, whychristmas.com. So if you'd like to go and visit my site, and you'd like to know more about what's happening over at Christmas here at Minehead Baptist Church, then please go to minehead-baptist.com/Christmas. And if you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon today, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.